Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue to talk about the three realms of reality. This is just my term that I've placed on this concept. The idea is not new. I'm not trying to say that this is anything that hasn't been presented before. What I am trying to outline is the importance of the distinctions between the spirit, soul, and body, and between these three realms, the spiritual, the supernatural, and the natural. Now, in the description of this program, the first part of that description, there's a link there that says Three Realms Chart. Click on that, and that'll open up a new window, which will have a chart. You can download that, you can print it out, you can just follow along as we talk. But again, the importance is that there's three different qualities and characteristics of these realms. And when we try to attribute certain characteristics to the wrong realm, we are misinterpreting and misappropriating authority, the source of life, how things relate to ourselves and to God. So, for instance, one of the big things that happens is we have a tendency to equate the power and authority of God with Satan. And there is no comparison. God does not have either an opposite or an equal. And we're not going to go into it now, but Satan is a created being. Satan and his angels are created. Demons are created. Angels are created. They're not God. Something that is created by something does not have any equal characteristic. Nobody created God. So he is the creator, he has authority over the created. Satan was created, his demons, all the angels, all beings, all planets, all circumstances, time, our own concepts, they're all created by God. He has power and authority over all those things that he has created. That's one of the reasons we're doing a real tight distinction between spiritual and supernatural, which is merely that realm between natural and spiritual. Super just being above, that makes it supernatural. And we're going to go into this in greater detail. We're going to spend most of our time talking about the supernatural realm and how the soul, our soul, functions in the supernatural realm. But this is why it's important, is if we have a tendency to equate even our own authority as regenerated spirit beings as being equal to Satan's authority. And it's not. If we have been regenerated, we have authority over Satan simply by being a spirit being and his being a supernatural being. It's not based on faith. It's not based on spiritual maturity, whatever that is. It's simply based on our being, a spirit being, and his being a supernatural being. we don't need any other description other than that. That gives us right there all the authority we need. Now, we're not exercising that authority, and that's a whole other ball of wax. But it's not because of our, you know, we have the authority intrinsically as a spirit being. Now, before we're regenerated, we don't, because we're not, we are a dead spirit being. And this is the distinction between a sinner and a saint, is as a sinner does not have the spirit alive in them, just the potential. But once that potential is realized, we become a saint, period. You don't go back and forth. You are either one or the other. Sinners sin and saints are holy, period. And so we have that authority intrinsically within us. But this is why we try to be real clear in our distinction between spiritual and supernatural. A lot of times, especially now, there's a real thrust of an emphasis on supernatural things going on and supernatural beings, and even people who don't believe in God often believe in supernatural, and they call it spiritual, but it's not. And this is where we need to be truthful about, as Christians, who we are and what our authority is. I love how in the scriptures, Jesus never said, he said, you speak to the mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. He didn't say, speak to me, pray to God for the mountain to be removed and it will be removed. He said, you. And this was even before he rose from the dead. And when they were, well, we won't start going through the examples. We're going to go into this in greater detail. But the whole point being that you and I, and this is hard to grasp, you and I have the same authority right now in our spirits that Jesus had and has. So let that just sink in. But what we want to talk more, go into greater detail now, we talk a little bit about the human spirit and how the trying to come up with what the scriptures say about a human spirit is going to be really difficult, because the scriptures use the same word for spirit for a variety, any time it's at all nebulous. And it's simply variety of words interpreted or translated as spirit, and they don't mean the same thing that you and I are using as spirit and spiritual. So then when we talk about the Spirit of God, we have even more to go into. So generally, when we are talking about something in terms of and saying it's spiritual, what we are saying is that it has a spiritual source and spiritual attributes or characteristics. We're describing things about its spirituality. Now, again, if you can get to that chart, there's only two beings that are spirit, God and us, if we are regenerated. So when we're talking about spiritual, we're talking about these characteristics that God has. What are these, his attributes, his characteristics, and where do they come from? And why do we have them? How do we have them? If like begets like, and spirit begets spirit, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. What is true of the seed is true of what that seed grows into, even if it appears different. Jesus was begotten of the Father by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of questions there. We can't say, okay, this is exactly how this happened. But Jesus said, if you see, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet, they weren't exactly the same. There's something different. And yet, they were still, show us the Father. So there's some distinction there. But then, when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, that answered their questions. Or at least gave them a pointer to know the Father better, a direction. What attributes, what characteristics of spirit are there? Well, we can go back to what are God's characteristics. What are his characteristics? If God is spirit, what attributes does he have that we now also have? Again, this is hard because we usually don't see ourselves as a spirit being, let alone as having these godly attributes. Holiness. We have a hard time seeing ourselves as holy. Yet in your spirit, you are holy. You're not going to get holier. You're not going to grow or become holy. You either are or you aren't. And when you were regenerated, you became holy by being born as a spirit being, made of the same character as God. Righteousness, peace, eternal life, joy, omnipotence, omniscience. All of the attributes of the Spirit of the Father are found in the Son through the Holy Spirit. And since we are born of the Son and born of the Spirit, in us as well. So, for something to be truly spiritual for our purposes, it would have to have those same characteristics. Likewise, the spiritual realm would be described in those same terms. In the true spiritual realm, there's no change. There's no shadow of turning. There's no questioning or even learning. No mistakes. No doubt, no flesh. There's only the perfect presence of love, of the fullness of God himself, in presentness. There's no time there. These are all aspects of either the supernatural or natural realm. When we think about ourselves, we think about maturity, and often, and we think about, you know, we're working on things and we need to grow and we need to please God and worship him and glorify him and please him and get somewhere and produce something and then we'll get to heaven and then this will happen. Well, none of that is spiritual. And again, we'll be patient. We'll get to that when we talk. We'll spend a lot of time in the soulical realm. Now, one of the aspects we've talked about on this radio program and through all our writings is how crucial it is to have our senses tuned. In the natural, we're familiar with our natural senses, but we also have soulical senses. And those soulical senses have become dormant because we've not used them. And this is an area where we'll really have to work. And this is one of the benefits of spending time with God, learning to wait on him, is he sharpens our senses. Through use, as they come in contact with the spiritual senses that you have right now in your spirit, that are fully functioning if you've been born again. Now, just as in the natural, you have a set of senses that function in a certain way, but they're limited. For instance, our hearing. We all know that, for instance, dogs, better hearing in certain ranges of sound, that there are a whole bunch of sound waves in the air, and our ears only pick up certain ranges. And our vision, our eyes, only pick up certain light waves. Well, in the spirit realm, our spiritual senses pick up everything. And in the soulical realm, the supernatural realm, our soulical senses will learn, have to relearn how to pick up what is in the supernatural realm and in the spiritual realm. In each realm, there are senses that function in that realm. The spiritual realm has its own set of senses that function there. When God first created Adam in the garden, he breathed into them his own life. He made them a living soul. He breathed into them Zoe, a part of himself. Before they were lowered, separated from God, the man, which was made in image of God, and then after they were divided, Adam and Eve, and they were named, had the spiritual senses required to have that perfect communion with God. They knew God fully, spirit, soul, and body. And the communication with him was so perfect and so complete and so uninterfered with that all their needs, all their spiritual, supernatural, and natural needs were met just by being with God. Now, we humans have a tendency to believe everything revolves around ourselves. And we have transferred our own ideas of our senses as we experience them today onto the senses Adam and Eve must have experienced with God in the garden. They walked with him. They spoke with him. They saw and they felt and they heard. They probably even smelled his presence and were heard and smelt and sensed by God in return. There was a communion. It went both ways. There was a like relating to like. We don't know what it was truly like. It's real hard to relate unless God really reveals that to us, which in our spirit we already know, but we have a rethinking in our soul to be able to receive this truth. Now, we do know that after they sinned and God's spirit was withdrawn from them, they died in their spirit. They no longer had the senses necessary to commune with God on the level that truly satisfied their deepest needs. God didn't change, but their ability to know him through their spirit wasn't there anymore. It's hard to imagine the loneliness and the desolation they must have felt. On their own, for the first time in their lives, they suddenly had to rely on their soulical and natural senses to try to meet their needs on all levels. Now, we have absolutely no idea of how long they were in the garden before this happened. Could have been billions of years. But all of a sudden, they could not get their basic needs met, wanted to try. Their souls all of a sudden had to do the work that their spirit had been doing. God must have seemed a million miles away, even if he appeared to them. All they had left were their natural and soulical senses, which were poor substitutes for their spiritual senses. And for you and I, for us even to think that we can sharpen our soulical senses on our own in order to receive from God, it's never going to be able to happen. Even in when you look at what happened in the Old Testament, probably the closest who had that great revelation was Moses, when he had his experiences going up to the mountain to talk with God. And he would come down and his countenance would be shining. The empty place in him was so enlivened by being in the presence of the Spirit that for a while his own spirit, dead though it was temporarily invigorated, that it gave out its own light. But because that light was from a source that was then separated again, it went out. And I can't imagine, think about it. He knew what it was like temporarily, or at least had that taste of what it was like to be a spirit being. And yet, it left him. But Adam and Eve, they had it all. And they lost it all. And they had to come up with a new way of living, a new way of relating to God and relating to one another and relating to their environment. They had to use their supernatural senses and their physical senses in ways that they weren't created for, because they were no longer enlivened by their spiritual senses. Now, they muddled through learning to use what they had, though obviously misinterpreting their surroundings and God's dealings with them at every turn. They no longer had a frame of reference. And this is where we are today, and it's have been ever since. The senses we are often relying on are still the wrong ones. Through Christ, we became spirit beings. And the true spirit senses are now, again, working in our spirit, but we don't know how to tap into them. In order to expose senses, our other senses, our soulical senses and natural senses, we have to realize that they have been substituting themselves. They've been inserting themselves into doing the work of our spiritual senses. Spirit speaks to spirit. And God did not pay that great price of sending his son to die and be resurrected to commune with us over the telephone or even face-to-face, but spirit-to-spirit. God wants to speak to you spirit-to-spirit. He wants to reveal himself to you spirit-to-spirit. This is the difference he's made. He's revealed himself to every generation, to multiple people. But for you and I, those who have been born again, he desires to reveal himself spirit to spirit. And in your spirit, he already is. So we want to take him, we want to join him in what's important. He knows what's best for us. And very often he withdraws himself from us so we will find an end to our own efforts and just accept that he will reveal himself to us on his terms. So what is the spiritual environment then that we're now living in? We can say that the environment that it's inhabited by God is the spiritual environment. This is where he dwells. And because we are in him, this is truly where we already dwell, in spiritual places. Now, everything is a spiritual realm. It's, again, that level. All of the supernatural realm is in the spiritual realm. All of the natural realm is in the spiritual realm. God has created all and has authority over all. But from our perspective, because we are spirit, soul, and body, we function in all three realms. And we are still learning how to live and move and have our being in that spiritual realm. Because we have not yet had our spiritual senses tuned, we often don't realize the reality of where we already are in our spirit. And so we often misunderstand what our Father is doing and saying. We'll often feel out of place here on earth, even as we're seeking God. But instead of understanding that the reality we yearn for is available for us now in spirit, we focus on the supernatural realm, which we're familiar with and we've been relying on, and which we can partially at least understand. Investing in a future heaven state, and we create these doctrines and these theories about what God is doing and what our future is, based on our soulical senses and our soulical understanding, rather than letting God, if God hasn't revealed the future, his future plans for us, we have a tendency to just make something up, to explain and motivate and give us understanding. And this is one of those areas where the distinction between our supernatural realm, our senses, and the spiritual senses, we need to bring those supernatural senses, subject them to spirituality, the spirituality of God, and let him reveal himself and his plans in his time and in his way. Because we don't want to put off till someday what God wants to reveal and do in us and through us today. You have no idea what God has in store for you. But by trying to understand in your own mind, your own soul, or relying on what somebody else believes or thinks, may keep you from receiving unconditionally what God wants to reveal to you unconditionally. What God reveals in part, let's not try to fill in all the blanks. He often teaches us and reveals to us what we need to know when we know it, when we need to know it. And sometimes not even then, because he has control of our circumstances. He has control of what your tomorrow is, and he will have you ready for it. Let him prove his love for you. Let him prove his trustworthiness. So we will pick it up here next week If you have any questions, feel free to drop me a line. Otherwise, we will get back together again next week. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.